No matter where you are, let freedom ring. You're on Texas Standard Time on this 4th of July. Happy Independence Day, you all. I'm Joy DSN for David Brown. If they're in a city, you've certainly seen them, and most likely you've already formed an opinion about them. I'm talking about electric scooters, those personal transportation devices that are ubiquitous in most urban Texas areas, except for Houston, which has resisted their arrival. But many, mainly younger users have flocked to the fleet of scooters from companies like Bird, Uber, and Lime. They're easily available, unlockable by app, and charging by the minute. Scooter boosters say they're an inexpensive and eco-friendly way to get around the urban core. But their detractors, however, point to an uptick in visits to the ER by riders and innocent bystanders alike, plus the obstruction of sidewalks, which is a especially tough issue for differently abled and visually impaired people. To say little of the late capitalist clutter along college drags from Austin to downtown Dallas to beachside Corpus Christi. That said, we're curious if any common ground can be found when it comes to rental scooter operations in Texas cities, best practices when it comes to regulation, and we're curious about other things. To help us illuminate these electrifying issues are Andrew Weber, digital reporter for KUT News, Gail DeLauder, transportation reporter for Houston Public Media, Paul Flav, technology and entrepreneurship reporter for Texas Public Radio in San Antonio. Welcome.
Hello, George.
Hi. Hey.
Paul, let's start with you, because in San Antonio, scooters are no longer allowed on sidewalks. When you hear from people, tell me the argument one person has made that has caught your attention, whether that argument is pro or against scooters.
Well, I think the biggest one has to do with just how they're parked, where they're parked, and how they are obstructions to folks that have, you know, disabilities. So I think, you know, the biggest con for pedestrians is that it blocks pedestrian right-of-ways.
Andrew, can you remember a story or a person that has been either pro or against?
I would say the exact same thing. Folks did argue the city put out parking areas in certain parts of town for scooters, but they haven't really been utilized as much as the city would like. You know, there are 15,000 of these scooters in Austin, so it's the most sort of visible complaint that they're parked sort of haphazardly and that they're a hazard to folks who may be using a wheelchair.
Gail, any stories that come to mind?
Well, one of the issues I heard in support of the scooters came from Lime Bike, which is one of the companies that's anxious to operate here in Houston. According to their data, about 40% of scooter rides replace a car trip. But, you know, like we say in a car culture here in Houston, people are tempted to jump in the car for a trip of any amount. You know, maybe it's a hot day, maybe it's very steamy outside. You've got to go a third of a mile down the road to pick up something at a store. Well, you're just going to jump in the car and do it because it's more convenient. But, you know, if the weather is conducive, if you've got that scooter there as an option, you may be more agreeable to using it just to make a short trip of that length.
So, Andrew, for decades, Texas urban residents have been clamoring for more pedestrian areas and for bicycle paths. And with all that in mind, tell me, how surprised were you when Austin, you know, implemented scooters? Some people would say the city was unprepared. Some would even say that they were clueless when it came to the rollout. So tell us a little bit about the Austin experience.
Yeah, the city was very surprised. Bird was the first company to roll out in April of 2018. And since then, there have been about 4.5 million rides taken, according to the city's data. The city didn't really have rules that were really codified until in May, and those just went into effect this week. So it's sort of a weird microcosm, so much that there were so many reports of injuries and so many complaints about injuries that the CDC started studying it and found that, you know, about 3/4 of the folks who had injuries, of the roughly 200 injuries in the study, which was like a 3-month period, only one person was wearing a helmet. The city is not necessarily, it's actually not requiring folks to wear a helmet unless you're under the age of 18. You can't double up on a single scooter, and you can ride on a sidewalk in Austin, though it's kind of encouraged not to if you can't.
Paul, Gail, what do you hear about the injuries, the fatalities even Is anybody in your area, any leaders addressing these public safety concerns?
I think that's what they want to address when they put together rules for scooters in Houston, to look at data from other cities, who's getting hurt, how they're getting hurt, and to learn some things from that to put that into the regulations to hopefully avoid some of that here in Houston.
Paul?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, people that are really interested on the council in pedestrian safety are still very pro-scooter. They say, you know, like Shirley Gonzalez, one of our councilwomen, says, you know, it's very comparable to bikes, and this is really a reflection on poor infrastructure, not on bad behavior on scooters.
But is it comparable to bikes? I mean, we have had a culture of bikes for a while, not a super deep culture. I mean, we're not talking about the type of culture that European cities have. But Andrew, what do you think? Are scooters really comparable to bikes?
A lot of folks in Austin would argue that, yes, there are protected bike lanes in Austin, but these sort of crashes involving scooters highlight that there isn't as much of an infrastructure as folks would like as far as what they call multimodal mobility and stuff like that. You know, these scooters are used for largely for the last mile of a commute in a lot of instances.
So, Gail, what do you see when we have riders in vehicles continuing to be the majority? When I'm riding in a vehicle, I am riding a very powerful weapon. I should be really careful. Is it a change of mindset?
Well, that's what the constant educational efforts are going toward here in Houston, is to realize that you're in a car, you're in this big hunk of metal, while a person on a bike or a scooter or a pedestrian, you know, basically has no protection whatsoever. But what we do see here in Houston, and I hear this from cyclists all the time and from pedestrians as well, is that constant conflict you have. Who owns the streets? Is it the driver, the pedestrian, cyclist? That whole idea of sharing the streets safely and looking at streets not just as an avenue of travel for people in cars, but other road users as well.
Advocates promoting scooters are talking about, you know, this is a non-polluting way to ease congestion. But then we also have, on the other hand, opponents pointing to the drawbacks. There's danger to pedestrians. There's dangers to riders. There's, you know, the obstruction of sidewalks. Have you come across any sort of rules that you think do a good job of recognizing both the pros and the cons of scooters? Can we start with Paul?
I think that San Antonio has done a good job of kind of trying to cautiously go forward and figure that out. I think that there's a lot of questions around the benefits of scooters that still are out there. I mean, even when we say that it's an energy saving or a more carbon neutral way of travel, I don't know that that's decided just yet, because we don't know how long these things last. I mean, there's a lot of questions around the life cycle of these scooters as they're on the streets. How long are they actually lasting? And we've seen some get recalled from companies like Lime replacing whole portions of their fleet as a result. But I mean, I do think that San Antonio and cities like it are doing the best they can in terms of trying to pass regulations that are both responsive to the communities that these scooters are in, because largely in San Antonio, they're condensed to one or two very specific areas that are either already, you know, have challenges with streets, and they're in areas that people want to be, neighborhoods where people want to be. And so, you know, it's very contentious amongst scooter riders and the people that are living in some of these places people want to be. And, you know, we're reducing it even further to just three companies here in San Antonio and 5,000 scooters. So it's still a question mark as to whether or not that will have the desired impact.
Gail, in your reporting, have you come across any sort of rules that you think do a good job of recognizing both the pros and the cons of scooters?
Well, Houston's rules are still sort of in a state of flux right now. From what I was told by the city's parking department, they're going to have more stakeholder engagement later this summer and then get down to work drafting ordinances that actually govern the scooters here in Houston. I think one of the big things they're focusing on is where you leave the scooter when the rental is over. People go to other cities, and that's kind of the negative impression they get of scooters, is they're all over the place. They're just dumped on the sidewalks. They're just left everywhere. You have to crawl over them. So that's something Houston is hoping to avoid by having designated areas where you leave the scooter when the ride is complete, to not have this scooter litter that people complain about in other cities.
Andrew, in your reporting, have you come across any sort of rules that you think do a good job of recognizing both the pros and the cons of scooters?
Yeah, I think just because these are so new, it's kind of hard to establish, you know, a silver bullet for all of these. I feel like, at least in Austin, folks didn't want them on sidewalks because it's more in keeping with state law as far as, you know, these things can go up to 20 miles an hour as fast as a bike. And in lots of areas in Austin, it's you can't ride a bike on the sidewalk. You're encouraged to ride either in a lane or in a bike lane. At the same time, the city and a lot of folks who are riding those bikes and are in those bike lanes, more often than not, they're kind of cut off in the middle of streets, and the city hasn't necessarily done as well. It's done a good job of building out bike lanes, but there's always sort of room for improvement.
Gail DeLauder with Houston Public Media, Andrew Weber at KUT News in Austin, and Paul Flav with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio. Thank you to all three of you for your time.
Thank you, Joy.
Thanks.
Thanks a lot.